Good morning. It is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord to sing songs, to remember the Savior's death, and to be with brethren, to be with like-minded faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you in on a little secret about Trey. Trey doesn't like to gamble. Trey likes to win. You may be laughing right now that, what? Gamble? Trey, you know you're in the house of the Lord. Yes, I do know that. But I want to tell you a story about 14-year-old Trey in middle school. And I promise you it'll tie into a lesson. 14-year-old Trey would gamble every day in middle school. He would play a game where you throw your quarter as close as possible to the wall, and whoever was closest won. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I said earlier that I like to win, right? I was a little too good at the game. And my compadres told on me. And my assistant principal decided she wanted to punish Trey. And she says, Trey, you know why you're here for gambling? I said, no, ma'am. I'm here for winning. That is why I am here. So again, Trey does not like to gamble. Trey likes to win. But here's the sad part about that, ladies and gentlemen. Every day, people believe that they are gambling. They believe they are gambling between Satan and God. They believe that they are struck in a battle between Satan and God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the case. God is not in a battle with Satan. He's not. We are. It is us. We're in the battle with Satan. God wins, ladies and gentlemen. God wins. And I hope I didn't spoil the book for you, but he wins. He doesn't gamble. He wins. It's us. We are playing the battle with Satan. We are battling him. It's not God. God wins every time they go up against each other. And we're going to go throughout the whole Bible this morning and look at pieces of God's word where it shows how many times Satan tries God and how many times he fails miserably. It's sad. I think Jonathan said in Revelation, you can count the four times that Satan loses. We're going to look at a lot more than that today. And I hope this lesson encourages you guys. God doesn't fear Satan. Why? God created Satan. God is the creator. God controls everything. Right? Satan is not God's rival, ladies and gentlemen. He's ours. We have to defeat Satan. We have to put him away. We talk about in Revelation that calculation. Who are you going to serve? Satan or God? That's the battle. Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to choose to be? That's the battle, ladies and gentlemen. This battle in Scripture is not, can Satan overthrow God? The battle in Scripture is whose has our heart. That is the battle in Scripture. When we remain faithful to God, that is the great battle in Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, Satan repeatedly attempts to overthrow God, to cause God's harm to his plans. He keeps fighting, and he keeps losing, ladies and gentlemen. He keeps losing. Turn to Genesis 3. We'll start there. Genesis 3, we know that Satan tells Adam and Eve what? God hath said, but you shall surely not die. He does one little trick. He distorts God's word. He changes God's word just a little bit. And destruction follows. Destruction follows. He's thinking he's won. He's beat God. He's got God's creation to sin. Right? He's lied to creation. He has got them to sin. Ladies and gentlemen, he still works that way today. He still wants us to question truth, distort truth, replace God's authority with their own self-love. That's what Adam and Eve did. They wanted to be wise. They wanted to be like God. Isn't that what we want to be? We want to be God in our own lives. That's that gamble we take every day. Like I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like to gamble. I want to win. I love winning. Winning feels good. We would play volleyball at church, at secular activities with the church people up in Rolling Hills. And they're like, Trey, why do you play? To win. Oh, we're here for fellowship. So I'm here to win. I want to go undefeated. I want to win. I like to win. And then think about Jesus. Jesus calls Satan in John 8:44, the father of lies. The father of lies. He birthed lies into existence. As we talk about God, he is holy. He is just, and he is the embodiment of truth. The devil is the opposite. So think about Genesis 3, 6-7. Adam and Eve rebels. It looks bad for mankind. It looks terrible. Satan has won. It's over, right? It's over. Romans 5:12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and so death did by also. Satan's won. He's got a victory. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. God declares Satan's defeat immediately. You shall bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. Yeah, you're hurting. You're hurting a little bit. But he's going to destroy you. You've already lost. Guys, we can close the book. The devil's lost. It's over. That's the whole chapter. That's the whole chapter, book, and verse. The devil loses. God wins. Amen? That's the whole book. The devil loses, God wins. He told us the devil would lose in the first three chapters. The enemy wounded humanity, but God has already had redemption prepared. He already had a plan to deal with it. So now, let's look at all the times that Satan has failed. And keep on running count. It's kind of a good thing. Turn over to Genesis 4, verse 25. Cain and Abel. Cain has killed a righteous brother. What happens? God raises up Seth. Again, the devil has tried to destroy God's plan and failed miserably. Turn to Genesis 6. What is wrong with Genesis 6? Oh, the whole world is evil. Every thought, intent of the heart is evil in the sight of God. But one man is found to be what? Blameless before God. Noah is found to be blameless. God has found a way, once again, to destroy Satan's ways. That's lost number three so far. All right, let's skip over to Exodus. Look at Exodus 1 and 2. Pharaoh has devised a plan to kill all Hebrew sons. Who's saved? Moses. Moses is saved. And when Moses saves who? By whose power? Moses saves Israel by God's power. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all works of the devil. And God has turned them upside down every time. Continue. 2 Kings 11 verse 2. Athaliah has tried to wipe out the line of David. It's left to one child. Joash. 2 Kings 11, verse 2. Athaliah has wiped out everybody except for one child. And what happens? He becomes king. He overthrows them. And once again, Satan's plans have been overthrown. Turn to Matthew 2. Turn to Matthew 2, verses 13 to 15. We hear about Herod's plan to go to Bethlehem and destroy everyone 2 years and younger. Who escapes? Our Savior. Christ. Christ escapes. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan didn't give up in the garden. He kept trying to destroy God's plan. And every time he has tried thus far, he has failed. He has failed. That should be encouraging to us that our enemy cannot defeat our leader. Our God, our Savior, our Creator. Because we are on the right side if we are following after God with our heart. There's no gamble. We're winning. The main truth here is what God purposes, hell cannot destroy. What God purposes will happen, ladies and gentlemen. The next thing I want you to look at how Satan fell at the cross. I want you to look how Satan failed in the life of Christ. Turn over to Matthew 4. And we see the temptation of Jesus by the devil himself.
We'll read there 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not but live by bread alone, but on every word that comes forth the mouth of God." The devil then took him along into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give angels orders concerning you, and on their hands they will lift you up, and you shall not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to serve him. Failed again. Failed again. He's got a track record, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? He keeps losing. Notice, every time the devil tempted him with scripture or something, what did Christ say? It is written. What God has said. He answers it with scripture. Where Adam failed, Christ succeeded. Because what if Adam says, no, God said this, and that's where we're at. It's a different book. That's what Jesus does here. Everything that Adam failed at, Christ answered. The lust of the eye, pride of life, the lust of flesh, Christ answered it. No. God said this. You're not going to twist God's word with me. That is what Christ does here in Matthew 4. You will not twist God's word with me. That is the difference between Adam and Christ. Everybody see that? Now let's get to Calvary. Let's get to Calvary. Turn to Luke 22:53. Jesus is being delivered. And he says this to the Pharisees and those who are going to arrest him. He says, "This is your hour in the power of darkness." This is your hour. The power of darkness allows it. Who's the power of darkness? Who has the power of darkness? Oh, Satan. Satan has it. Satan's looking real good. It's like, I got him. Got him this time. He's arrested. He's going to face crucifixion. I've got him. Judas betrayed Christ. The crowds rejected him, and Rome crucified him, and darkness covered the land. The devil's pretty happy right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's like, "I've got him. I've got him. He's dead. What can he do to me?" But what did the devil forget? He forgot John 10:18. That Christ laid down his life. That Christ chose to lay down his life. That no one can take his life from him. But he chose to lay it down. He died as a sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus was not overpowered. He willingly laid his life down. Hebrews 2:14 says, "Through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." Hebrews 2:14. "Through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death." Through his death, he destroyed Satan's power over death. Colossians 2:15, "Triumphing over them in it." His death is his triumph. What hell thought was their greatest victory is their most humiliating defeat. It's humiliating. They like, "We got him. We've beat him." Again, the course of, not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. The main truth here is the cross was not Satan defeating Christ. It was Christ defeating Satan through sacrifice. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't like to gamble. I like to win. And Christ is doing a lot of winning. God is doing a lot of winning here. The next thing I want you to look at is that Satan still fails today against us. Against little old us, he fails. Look over at Acts 8. Acts 8 is after Stephen has been killed, he has been martyred, and Saul goes in through the church and he starts arresting people, putting them in prison, putting them to death. And what happens? The Christians scatter. They scatter. They go into Judea. They start going into all the world. And what happens? Churches are formed. Christians are made. Again, he's so close, he almost got us. And again, his plan fails. His plan fails again, ladies and gentlemen. The church goes further. It goes further into the world. And then silence the gospel. It spread like a virus. It just kept going and going. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says that his kingdom, not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are that kingdom. We are the church. The devil will not prevail against us as long as we hold fast to Christ. That's that calculation we keep talking about in Revelation. Who are we holding fast to? And ladies and gentlemen, it's an ongoing war. It's a war that we have to continue fighting every day. 1 Peter 5:8, I'm sure we all know it. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Does he say God's adversary there? Does he say God's enemy? God's rival? Who does he say is their rival there? It's ours. It's our rival. It's our enemy. It's our adversary that is roaring like a lion. It's who we have to fight, ladies and gentlemen. It's who we have to overcome. Not God. God's already done it. God's already done it numerous times, as we've seen. He's already done it, ladies and gentlemen. God has no equal enemy. Don't get that twisted. He has no equal. There is no one equal to God. Satan is our adversary. He attacks our faith, our purity, our courage, our worship, and our endurance. That's what he attacks us at, ladies and gentlemen. Ephesians 6, verse 12, Paul writes that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We wrestle against the devil. That echoes what Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:8. We are wrestling against the devil. We're fighting against the devil. Yes, it might be in form of sin and people persecuting us, but that is ultimately what we're fighting against. We're fighting against the devil. But there's a key point we need to remember. We're not fighting for victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. We're fighting from victory. And you're looking at me like, what? What do you mean? Well, ladies and gentlemen, who's already won? God. Whose side are we on? God's. James 4, 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then in Revelation 12, 11, and Jonathan's right here, you can write a whole sermon on this. In fact, there is one written that didn't deliver today because someone else wanted to hear this one. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How did you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb. What have we all been washed in who are Christians in this room today? By the blood of the Lamb. What does that assure us of? Victory, if we obey. It assures us of victory. So we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. God has already won. He's already won. The devil may oppose the church, but he cannot oppose those who remain in Christ. God has already delivered him for judgment, ladies and gentlemen. It's already been determined. From Eden to Revelation, the dragon keeps fighting. And he keeps losing. He keeps gambling. And he just can't get close to that wall at all. At all. It's almost like he drops the quarter every time instead of throwing it at the wall. God wins. God wins. Ultimately, God wins. And if you're tracking what Satan has failed at, he has failed to destroy the promised seed. He has failed to corrupt Christ.
He has failed to win at the cross. He has failed to destroy the church. And he will fail at the final judgment. That's a lot of L's, as the young kids would say. It's a lot of L's. He ain't bowl eligible. That's a football joke. Hope you got it. It's not bowl eligible, ladies and gentlemen. That's the truth. He doesn't have a storied program. It's one of losing. It's one of losing. And here's where we know the devil ends up. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil was cast into the lake of fire. We know his ending. When we're battling against him, we can say, hey man, I know where you end up at. I see your end. You don't have much to go for you, buddy. You end in a lake of fire, far as away from God as possible. Well, Lord willing, I end up in that throne room seat, close to God as possible. I can be in the back row, but I want to be there. I want to know that I won. I want to know that I was victorious, that I didn't gamble my life. That I had faith in God and I ended up in that throne room seat. That is what I want. And I want that for all of us. I once told a brother that I think our job as Christians is to get ourselves to heaven and drag as many as we can with us. That is our job. Drag as many as we can with us. Whether they want to go or not, drag them with them. You know? That's our job as Christians. To show the world how great God is. And that he's already won. And that Satan is lost over and over again. So here's your invitation, ladies and gentlemen. Revelations 2:10, Christ says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That is our war. That is our battle every day, is to remain faithful and to achieve that crown. Our enemy wants everything in his power to take that crown away from us. He wants to take it. Because he will never get one. We've already seen his end. It's not with ours. Not with God. And I want you to remember this. The dragon always loses. Always. Christ always wins. So stand with Christ. The first step in standing with Christ today is come up here and confess him before men. Show your faith. Repent of your sins and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Becoming a new being. Becoming a new man and woman. Becoming a follower of Christ. To be able to stand on that day and say, I am a child of God. I'm victorious. I have won. Because my Savior won. Because my God won. That is our challenge today as life, in our lives. Is to just enjoy the victory that God has already promised. That is the goal. To be basking in the sunshine of God. And sunshine is probably not the right word, but the light of God. That is our goal today, ladies and gentlemen. And drag as many as you can with you. If you have need to become a Christian, to repent of sins, or you just need prayers, make those need known as we stand to sing the songs and select them.